human head has a very prodigious flow of blood. It's got a beautiful built-in cooling mechanism to absorb RF energy. And by the way, we're talking about 1.6 watts per kilogram, which at first sounds like a big number. When you lie on the beach in the summertime in your bathing suit and the sun is beating down on you, 1,000 watts of thermal energy from the sun, approximately, is going into your body. And your body handles it very well. The 1.6 watts per kilogram, if they did have a specific chunk of gray matter in your head, it is predicted to produce 0.1 degree of temperature rise. Is 0.1 degree of temperature rise during the use of a cell phone under the maximum worst case condition, where you're the maximum distance from the cell site, and therefore because of its power management protocol, it goes to full power output, so to speak, which is something that it rarely does. But even under that condition, 0.1 degree of rise of calculated, or I think it's actually measured by way of a sham, let me drop. By way of a surrogate substitute chunk of material that is exactly like a human head, you can measure by putting probes in the portion that's the jello-like material that represents a brain material. You can measure 0.1 degree of temperature rise from the RF energy. And is that really something to be alarmed about? I can easily get, I think the answer is no, because I can get 0.1 degree of rise of my body because I've just walked up a flight of stairs. And as I've said a number of times before, can you imagine the amount of temperature rise you get to a man that runs a marathon? Does a person who runs a marathon have a drastically increased rate of getting cancers? Of course not. So there's a kind of an alarmism going on here. There's a brand new wave of people worrying about RF radiation, and there's the problem. That darn word radiation, which is an emotional word. Had we in the beginning called it radio signaling, radio transmission? Yeah, cell phones have to meet some very strict requirements these days for SAR and HAC. SAR stands for specific absorption rate. Again, that's how much RF energy would go into a human being, the portions of the head or body that are nearest to the cell phone. And when you simulate the radio characteristics of muscle, bone, skin, hair, whatever, and you calculate how much gets absorbed, and what's the equivalent in watts per kilogram, which creates this 0.1 degree of heating, that's what we're talking about. So 60 years of research that have gone into radio effects on human beings have shown very clearly that it is a thermal effect only. For 60 years, your best laboratories and institutions and research show organizations society, it doesn't matter what we're talking about, Europe, Asia, Australia, United States, North America, South America, they've all been looking for the non-thermal effect, and no one has found it. So RF energy creates heating. If you stand the right distance away from a pretty potent radio transmitter, and you think you're really being irradiated, you stand the same number of feet away from, let's say, a 30-watt light bulb, a incandescent light bulb, the ones that really may heat, and you're getting roughly the same amount of effect. A light bulb's dangerous? Well, is radio dangerous? There's a strong similarity between the two. And because of the word radiation, we're getting into the sensationalistic fear, monkering, and whatever, which is probably very unjustified. And it's gonna create some grief, and we've got to start preparing for it as I see it. John, I think you've got some further questions or comments. Go right ahead.
2 years ago, they asked for my help because they had developed a fear that the antennas on top of the water tower, there's one water tower in the town, it happens to be near the primary school, and that one water tower, they suddenly developed a fear that it was doing terrible things. They hired an outside agency, a respected agency, to do a survey, and that agency did a study, published a 40-page report. I'm guessing it's a 40-page report. It's called the Park Report, P-A-R-C, which is the name of the organization. They did the study, and in that 40 pages, well-documented, traceable to the Bureau, measurements and assessment. Unfortunately, the Park report is written in technical language. It was not boiled into human-friendly language by non-technical people. The Park committee didn't do enough of that, of boiling it into a friendly format. Therefore, the residents misunderstood it, in my opinion. I was called in to make measurements. I did. I then decided to make a presentation before the village board, the village board on the subject. And I found it to be extremely safe. Well, my relatives didn't want to hear that from the Park report. My relatives didn't want to hear that from me. I am now being shunned by those relatives. I'm not allowed to talk to them. Their feeling is that strong. Their desire is a sincere one. They want to protect their children. It's a small town, and from their point of view, they are defending themselves against these great big outside agencies, Big Brother. The federal government is against them. The Department of Homeland Security is against them. Their county is against them, and they think their village is against them. They are suing their village to get rid of the antennas and maybe even remove certain individuals who are in power in the village, who are elected to their particular office. I have the impression that a strong percentage of the 7,000 residents of the village of Bayville have been forced into this opinion by the few people in the town who are essentially running this campaign. And I think I can call it a campaign. It's to the point now that if you live in that town, and if you do not have the exact same opinion, you will be shunned by those residents. If you want to do business in the town, and if you do not exercise the exact same opinion, you will not be called back to do any further business. And so, I think objectivity has disappeared. I think subjectivity is dominating. I think excess fear has happened. It all got triggered by the fact that a resident in the town who is on the faculty of the school did develop cancer, and a student developed cancer. Was the cancer rate in the town high above the county average and the national average? I think the answer is no. But because the very high observation antennas that are across from the school are there, and someone developed the opinion the antennas are causing the problem, from that point of view, it's an open and shut case. Don't confuse me with any more facts. My mind is made up. They're almost saying things like that. It's going to be a long, slow, educational process to correct this condition, in my opinion. We amateurs, we radio-savvy people, know how good radio is. Radio is your friend. It protects a hell of a lot of lives. Without a good radio system for your fire, your police, your emergency vehicles, and your cell phone, you take that away from a community in the 21st century, and I can predict for you exactly how fast people will die in the town because you've made that change. I'm not kidding. And when people die in that town because the protection from the radio system no longer exists, it's only a matter of time when the survivors, the relatives of those deceased people, will sue somebody else for removing the antennas and declare it a case of criminally negligent homicide. If you take a safety device away from the community and you suffer the disadvantage of the lack of that safety device, that is criminally negligent homicide. So a lot of repair of opinion is going to require here. Please do not ridicule these people because they've come to the wrong opinion. They're trying to protect their children. The degree of sincerity can be proven by the fact that they stopped using microwave ovens. They will not use a cell phone when a child is nearby. A few of them are still using their cell phones when they're far away from the child. They're willing to take that risk, I put that in quotes, because they have to run their business. They're stopping the use of cordless phones, cell phones. They won't use a computer.
that has a BCMCIA card, a 802.11 RF connection. They will use that when the child is in the house. They're willing to make all of these sacrifices. It shows you the degree of sincerity. And so it's going to be a long, slow educational process by those who are better informed. It's a kind of a prejudice. In this case, it's not a prejudice against a race or religion. It is a prejudice against a technology. They are rejecting a major portion of the technology of the 21st century, in my opinion. And if you really have feelings that are strong enough that you want to do that, about the only way in the 21st century you can really get away from all this technology is you have to live with the Amish or with the Mennonites. You have to go back to a more simple agrarian life. And if you want to do that in the heart of Nassau County in the 21st century, in the outskirts of New York City, where already, let me drop, the Department of Homeland Security has done an analysis, and we have gotten a poor report card. There is nowhere near enough radio communication for health and safety already existing. So very slowly we're going to have to change these opinions. But there's another whole wave of this jazz coming, is what I think is coming down at us. Lewis, I think you wanted to ask questions or make another comment. Please go do so. KT2 Alpha Uniform, K2RIW and SecNet. My name is Dick. KT2AU, maybe I got it wrong. Is it KT2AU? Are you still there?
Oh, okay. I was wondering if you were referring to someone else. No, I am EC2AE. My name is Joe. I've spoken with you before, Rich. I think, I'm not sure what you go by. But I just, on all this radiation, you know, paranoia is what I call it. You know what it is? That there's so many levels of radiation, like you said from before, from light bulbs to computer screens to RF signals coming from our ham stations, these repeater stations. I think there's some kind of mass hysteria going on out there that this radiation is harmful, and this one developed a tumor in their head from using a cell phone. And, you know, I honestly, until I have factual proof of it, you know, I can't believe that this is, you know, going to happen. I believe if you use it in excess of amounts, that yes, it can, and it should be regulated by all means. You know, I didn't know that it was like 1/6 per gram, or whatever calculation or whatever numbers you use. I didn't know that that was the actual, you know, I don't even know what to call it. But, you know, that's very interesting. But I still don't think that a cell phone's going to give me brain cancer, even 20 years from now, if I use it every day. You know, I don't think that the RF coming from my antennas are going to harm people. I believe that, you know, this is friendly. I do believe we need more repeaters up here and out and more communications. And I just wanted to throw my two cents in there, basically, because there are a few people where I live who are now starting to say, hey, there's radiation actually coming from these antennas, and, you know, what is he doing? Is he talking to Mars? And, you know, they're just uneducated. So, you know, a good little education, you know, a little message, getting the word out what we do, how we do it, and, you know, just really we have to educate these people. And as for these people, I think you said it was in Bayville. You know, some people you're not going to be able to change their mind no matter what. They want this thing down. They're going to get it down somehow or another. You can have a million experts go in there and tell them that this is 100% safe, you know, and then they'll tell you, well, what if it falls? You know, it'll be something else. But, you know, when a group of people get together and get determined, things happen that are not necessarily for the good. But, like you said, we definitely are in the low numbers with radio communications, with amateur operators out here, and actually amateur operators using the amateur radios for actual emergency services and trying to get into a group or somewhat of trying to help people out. I don't know who really gets it next, but I guess I'll give it back to you, Dick. AC2AE.
E2EWK, Dick.
Okay, Eugene recognized. Joe, awful glad you signed in. And the people in Brooklyn are a lot more rational in this area. And just talk to Mel and his neighbors. They're nowhere near as up in arms as the people in Bayville. And I'm convinced it's unjustified. No two ways about it. As it is right now, Bayville, which is on the north shore of Long Island, in Nassau County, part of the Oyster Bay Township. And Oyster Bay itself has some awful strong views against radio. There is essentially no cell site. The radio coverage that exists in Bayville right now is inadequate for law enforcement. There are specific dead spots in the town where law enforcement does not have proper coverage. If you and I, as a rational person, was going to be an officer patrolling the beat in Bayville, in theory, I would have to memorize all the places in case the system does not properly work, and have to make sure that I don't try to carry on a law enforcement operation in those areas, because I'm outside of radio coverage. My life would be significantly more at risk because of that. That's the current condition with the number of law enforcement antennas in the town, and the town is trying to the village people are trying to lower it from that point. This, of course, is foolish. You can't do that. They're not going to be allowed to do it. The front cover of the January issue of Newsday said that the assistant district attorney said that if the town was successful in getting a judgment where the antennas have to be removed, because she is backed up by the Department of Homeland Security, who said this is the opposite of what's required, that in response she has gone on record to say she will condemn the water tower, take it over by eminent domain, and put the antenna back. Because of that pronouncement of the assistant district attorney, because of the pronouncement of the Department of Homeland Security, because of the law of the FCC Communication Act of 1996, which says you cannot remove a cell site based on what you think is a perceived risk of radio frequency biohazard. So they are in opposition of the Federal Law of Communication Act of 96, in opposition of Homeland Security, in opposition of the Assistant District Attorney. The chances of winning that case and sustaining that win are very, very slim. And I think the residents are, for the time being, of the opinion that they are defending themselves against all of these outside agencies outside of their village. Psychologically, they are circling the wagons and protecting themselves from all these bad things. Well, if you demand zero risk in your life, you're going to be extremely frustrated. There is a little bit of risk in every single thing you do. You cannot demand zero risk. In every rational situation, you have to weigh the risk-benefit ratio. The ratio of benefit to risk with radio and wireless equipment is so extremely high when it comes to saving human life. You can't deny its use. Even if you do find out that one person per 100,000 gets a cancer from it. This is a hypothetical, crazy situation. If it was as bad as that you discover 20 years from now that one person per 100,000 got cancer because you used radio, but oh, by the way, 5,000 people are now alive that wouldn't be, would you allow radio? And they actually come down to that kind of mathematics. And by the way, the one person per 1,000 would be a hypothetical situation. You wouldn't even be able to prove that. It's very similar to what happened in the early days of cigarette smoking. You couldn't prove that if you consume this one single cigarette, that some harmful thing will happen to you. In the case of cigarette smoking, it took a very long period of time to have the deleterious effects set in, and it took a very long period of time to finally research it. Well, in the case of radio, it has been extensively studied by every major nation on planet Earth for 60,
solid years. So if a person went to say, gee, we didn't think, we thought asbestos was safe, we found out it wasn't. We thought cigarette smoking was safe, we found out it wasn't. And therefore, by guilt, by association, you suddenly say, we think radio is safe, and we're going to find out it's not. That is not a valid argument. For a long period of time, we didn't study asbestos. For a long period of time, we didn't study cigarettes. But for a long period of time, we have studied radio and its effects on biological substances, and namely human beings, and a hell of a lot of other biology has been exposed to radio to see what happens. You can never say it is absolutely positively 0.000 risk, but the risk if it's there is so darn small compared to the benefit. You can't deny the benefit of radio. You can't take it away in the 21st century in a progressive society, an educated society. You can't do that. You can try. It's going to be a futile effort. I strongly believe this is an extremely futile effort. A lot of education is required, and we radio people are going to have to help our friends in Bayville come to a more rational conclusion, to come to their senses. Please don't make jokes about this. Don't belittle me. Don't belittle them. They've got a sincere effort to protect their children. I can somewhat understand that part. But unfortunately, their technical knowledge in this area is, in my opinion, very lacking, and it's going to have to be corrected. Otherwise, people are going to be hurt by the attempts of the change. They're going to be hurt financially. They already have been. They're going to be hurt psychologically. They already have been. They're going to be hurt as far as life and death is concerned if they succeed in any way creating detriment or removing that radio equipment. Anybody with any further opinions or questions on this, give me a call at us right now. And by the way, Babel's not the only one. The village of Old Westbury, portions of Hicksville, East Hampton, and Oyster Bay is the town itself, Oyster Bay Village, I guess it is. There are pockets of this irrational opinion going on all over the place. And another wave of it is starting, unfortunately. So get ready for it.
Hey, repeat here. Time out.
Anybody with any further questions or opinions, give me your call letters and name right now. K2RIW.net.
DC2AE, Joe.
Joe recognized. Anyone else?
Rescue 2, I call Rescue Kill.
Okay. You just got to know your, Eugene. Go ahead and make your comment, Eugene.
I support you 100%, Dick. 100% on my part from Rescue 2 Echo Rescue Kill, Dick.
Fantastic. Okay. I'm going to put your name in my big book as one of the good guys. Thank you, Eugene. Joe, AC2 Alpha Echo, you got it.
Well, I think you're going to have to put me in your book, too, because I agree with you 100% as well. Isn't there something like that us as the amateur radio community could do, or even get the FCC involved, where we could just start flooding this town with information on the safety of RF and RF applications and what we do and everything? I mean, if we show them the proper education, if we show them the proper material and give them the proper education, maybe we could change these people's minds a little bit. I mean, you know, it's kind of scary to think that there's a section out in Bayville that, you know, there's an officer's life that's right now in danger, you know? If there was a criminal out here on a scanner, he'd know where to go and do a crime. So, isn't there something that the amateur radio community or the FCC can do? Is there some kind of information that we can inform these people? Back to net.
I wish it was as simple as that, Joe. You've got the right attitude. And although it's going to at first be a futile effort, we have to do exactly what you're saying. We have to flood them with information in a friendly manner. By some magic, we have to put it into a format in human language that they can understand. Right now, everything they've been exposed to is in high-tech, technical language, and it snows them, and they're rejecting it. The village website 2 years ago contained 6 beautiful documents, both the park report, 2 or 3 FCC reports, 2 or 3 other reports, on the village website. All of these reports in toto were there, where anyone who wants to educate himself could read it. And you can't increase the availability than that. And it was there for a significant length of time. The mayor of the town, I think her name is Victoria Siegel, and I gave testimony before her, a very rational person by my standards. And she's trying very hard to do the right thing. The town people are unhappy that she allowed these antennas to be allowed to be installed during her first administration in the early 90s. During her second administration, in the 2000s now, they're unhappy that those antennas were allowed way back in the early 90s. It didn't bother them for the first 15 years. All of a sudden, it's bothering them now, and they want them removed. It's a sudden change of attitude, which is, on the surface, you can partially understand it. But even all of that beautiful information that used to be on the village website has been removed because the subject in the town is too hot a potato. In other words, the village people are now trying to force the subject not to even be discussed, which of course is a kind of closed-mindedness. It's going to be a very slow, hard slog of a effort to correct this. Many of us have friends in that village or in the surrounding villages who slowly, with our knowledge, with our experience, we will be able to help them. It's going to take time. Don't be discouraged because you don't get immediate results. You don't get immediate success. This is a kind of prejudice. Let me drop. It's a kind of technical prejudice as opposed to some of the prejudices we had in the past. This nation has spent ridiculous decades and centuries almost being prejudiced against certain people of race, color, religion, creed, whatever. We've had a number of serious prejudices in the past, and we're slowly working our way out of those. And we're making a lot of progress, in my opinion. But this particular prejudice against the technology of radio and what they think is a perceived risk to their children is irrational. A number of the wells in the town of Bayville were closed down because they were not as pure as they should be. The people who got the cancer, were they using that water? Were they living in those districts where those defective wells had to be discontinued? Has someone considered that as a possibility? It's very easy to make an immediate conclusion because you look at 20,000 pounds of hardware on the top of a cell site. It looks massive. To a non-technical person, it looks ominous. I can sort of understand that. But once you get down to the nitty-gritty of the so-called inverse square law that almost all of us in radio understand, which means it doesn't matter if it's a light bulb, it doesn't matter if it's the sun, it doesn't matter if it's a radio transmitter. Every time you double the distance between you and that source of energy, the amount of energy that you become exposed to goes down by a 4-to-1 ratio every time you double the distance. Or it goes down by a 100-to-1 ratio if you must make the distance 10 times. That's what square law is. If it's double the distance, you square 2, you get 4. You get one quarter of the radiation. If you increase the distance by 10-to-1, you square 10, you get 100. You get 1/100, 1% of the radiation. That's what the inverse square law is. Because of the inverse square law, let me drop, that cell phone against your head, I believe it is safe, but it's giving you 1 million times more radio energy into your body than if you live directly next door to the cell phone base station. The closest you can get to it because of its altitude, with your property as close as possible to it, is about 200 feet. If I compare 200 feet to approximately the quarter inch of spacing between that cell phone antenna and your head, I compare a quarter inch to 200 feet, I come up with something like a 10 million to 1 ratio. Well, the cell phone base station runs a little higher power than your cell phone itself. So when I boil it all down, it's 1 million to 1. You get 1 million times more energy with the cell phone than with the cell phone base station. If you want to be super safe and you decide that you're going to use a headset with your cell phone as opposed to holding it against your head, that is rational. I understand that. But to take the thing that is 1 million times weaker, the cell phone base station, which looks ominous, and say I'm going to remove all of those from the town, that is crazy. That's the best way I can put it. It's crazy. You can't do that in the 21st century. You can try. The federal government won't let you do it. Two or three branches of the federal government won't do it. Your village won't let you do it. Your county won't let you do it. The state won't let you do it. It's going to be an expensive, long, drawn-out, ugly battle that cannot be won for two or three reasons. The number of organizations that are against that outcome will force it not to be the way they desire. And second of all, you don't want to put that many people, firemen, policemen. I know of a fireman in the town who tells me there are dead spots where the fire communication doesn't work correctly. I haven't checked, but I'm sure if I did, I would find ambulance operators in Bayville telling me they don't have enough coverage. I know for a fact that cell phones don't have enough coverage, and I know that law enforcement doesn't have enough coverage. Other than all of those non-coverages, everything's fine. That's a snide remark that I shouldn't have made, but you see what I'm going here. You can't do this. And so we informed people who know radio are going to have to very slowly make the attempt. And you can see that even all...
Repeater, time out.
Even all of these beautiful articles on the village website, which try to educate the community, that did not create the desired response yet. And because of the volatility of that particular subject in that town, all of that information was removed from the village website. I think it should be returned. I think Victoria Siegel, who is the mayor of the town, should be better supported. We have to give her encouragement. She's on the right side. She's got an uphill battle. It's not going to be easy. I'm open to suggestions. I hope we create corrective action. I know I'm probably creating a further rift between me and my relatives because they don't want to hear this. They are already shunning me because I have the opinion they don't want to hear. The outside agency that they hired had the opinion they didn't want to hear. The government, the federal agency, the state agency, everybody from their point of view has the opinion they don't want to hear. When you have that many people against you, you have to suddenly start asking yourself, gee, am I in the right on this one? My faith in human nature tells me they will come around. They have no choice. But it's going to take a long period of time. Maybe we can help. Give it some thought. I'm open to your suggestion. K2RIW and TechNet, we're listening.
KC2MDP.
KC2MDP says, recognized. Anyone else?
Me.
I heard Mel. Is there a third person?
WS2N.
Paul? Was there a third person? A fourth person?
K2YO.
And Bernie, K2YO. Boy, we got a lot of them. Okay, we'll start off with KC2MDP. Go right ahead.
Good evening to Dick and everyone else on the net. Handle here is Steve. Just a quick comment here. You know, I've educated a couple of people, you know, that don't understand radio, where, you know, they get it, you know, they, you know, I explained to them, you know, that radiation, you know, that evil word, you know, I said, well, there's a lot of things to radiate, you know, you got a radiator in your house, you got a radiator in your car, a light bulb radiates energy, you know, and they get it. But these people, you know, it seems like they're being told, but they just don't want to, swallow the truth. It's like, you know, they got that sky is falling attitude, and that's all they want to hear. You know, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, how do you go about educating these people? You know, us as amateurs, if we do it, they're just going to come back and say, well, you know, the only reason you guys want radio is because that's what you do. You like playing, you know, and talking to Mars and everything else, you know, with all your antennas on the roof. I don't understand why you need all of those things. You know, you get that typical, I don't understand it. Why do you do it attitude? How would you, you know, just a couple quick words, how would you go about, you know, trying to educate people that basically don't want to hear what you're trying to tell them? Back to you, Dick.
Don, good question, Steve. Sorry I didn't recognize your name right away. I'm getting a little forgetful. Had a tough day, I'm a little tired. The people in Baldwin are a little bit swifter than the people in Bayville right now. Steve was involved, that's why I said that. It's not easy. Yes, they will accuse us, Steve, to answer your direct question. They will accuse us of being biased. We love radio. We do it as a hobby. We do it as an occupation. We do it on what we think is research. We're wrapped into it, without a doubt. And they can accuse us of saying that, okay, you're defending it because of your involvement and you're not being objective. Well, whether we're objective or subjective, there is a clear line of logic that shows that when law enforcement, when fire, when emergency vehicles, and when cell phones, when those radio systems work, lives are saved, pure and simple. If you have an automobile accident, your vehicle strikes, let's say, a telephone pole, you're stuck in the car and the sheet metal is wrapped around you, and some of that sheet metal is cut into your leg and you're bleeding. How soon emergency services, the first responders, get to you in many circumstances makes the difference between life and death, pure and simple. With a cell phone, you can call 911, and within approximately 60 seconds, emergency vehicles are beginning to roll toward that accident and to potentially save that human being. In this particular example I gave, and I guarantee there are 50 similar sounding examples, the time for response is life and death. You can't get a time of response any faster by any other means than by having good operative radio systems. If the radio system wasn't there, and if this was 20 or 30 years ago, where you had a payphone, and you go running down the street, and you hope you've got a dime in your pocket, and thank goodness in those days, you could call, I guess, 911 without money. But you run to the payphone, which takes you a length of time to get there. That's valuable time. We don't even have payphones now. If you don't have a cell phone, and you run to the fire station because you want the heavy rescue vehicle to be there to get to remove that person, repeater,
time out.
You want the heavy rescue vehicle to remove that person from that heavy bent up piece of sheet metal. So you want fire rescue there. They're the people with the equipment, the jaws of life that can get you out of that vehicle before you bleed to death, before it catches on fire, and whatever. And you go banging on the door of the fire station. Nothing will happen. Because in most communities, the dispatching of the heavy vehicles, the dispatching of the fire personnel, does not take place from that location. Quite often in some other location. And it takes you a whole length of time to get there. It might take you 10 minutes to drive there and hope you get somebody. If you go roaring into the police station nowadays, and you start screaming and hollering, hey, that person's at risk and you've got to help them real fast, they will defend themselves against you. That doesn't normally happen. They will consider you a crazy person. It will take you a tremendous length of time to verbally, face-to-face, convince the police department to bring emergency vehicles. You call them on their cell phone, they respond immediately. They're used to doing that. So your fire, your police, your ambulances, they all respond rapidly when radio is there and it's working. You remove the radio, people will die. Simple as that. We can be, you and I, Steve, can be accused of being subjective. There's a degree of truth to that. But beyond that subjectivity, there's a hell of a lot more information you and I can back it up with. It means life and death. Maybe I'm being a little bit too strong, but you see where I'm going with this one, Steve. KC2MDP, K2LIW. Good question.
AC2AU with the comment.
AU also recognized you're on the list. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, Dick, I understand what you're saying 100%, and, you know, that was my thought exactly. You know, it's almost, you know, it's like 20/20 hindsight. You know, something, unfortunately, a catastrophe has to happen before they realize, oh, gee, you know, well, if we had a decent communication system, this wouldn't happen. Or if, you know, same thing. You know, if I'm in an accident, thank God I had that cell phone, and thank God it worked. But it seems like, you know, out of sight, out of mind with a lot of these people. And unfortunately, I think the only way that's going to put this into their mind is some major catastrophe has got to happen where it's brought to the public's attention that, you know, well, radio saved the day. And, you know, unfortunately, I think that's what it's going to take to have these people understand what we're talking about. Back to you.
Very fine, Steve, and thank you for bringing this to our attention. Your opinion is what I'm trying to say. Right now, we've got a number of people lined up. Mel, I can't read my own writing, K2YO, and then Jeff in that order. Mel, go right ahead with your question. Comment.
Okay. Tell you my experience, similar to what you are talking about with people, relatives and all. The old cliche here, not in my backyard, they had plans, theoretical plans, to put windmills off the coast here, and I guess Long Island also, that would supply a good portion of the power that would be, needed to keep up with the demand here in this area, in your area, Dick. And you know what happened to that, they struck that down. Oh, I don't want to see that in my backyard, sort of. In other words, not in my backyard. And apropos to that, there have been a number of cases here where the buildings, they put a number of cell phone antenna systems here on apartment buildings here because, there's no place to put up towers. So they put them on, they rent space on these apartment buildings, these high apartment buildings. And a number of them found the people wanted their lease broken. They also wanted money for the landlord to move. And they got it. The landlords gave in. They did not fight it. And the case where one person that I know of, they were offered to see an apartment at a reduced rate. And they wanted to know, why is it at a reduced rate? Well, because of disclosure, the law of disclosure, they found out that there are cell phones up on top of the roof of this building. So they asked me, they said, well, would you move in there? And I said, yeah. No, I wouldn't even think twice, especially they're going to give you a reduced rate, a rent. I said, grab it. Well, would you go to take us and will you write down that under any circumstances that on anything I can, in other words, make me personally responsible for their continued health, that if they fall and on their face and break their nose, this will be my responsibility. In other words, I should now guarantee that there's no possibility. Like you said, the life is that risk. Every day is a risk. You get up, you go out, is a risk. But they want guarantees that I'm going to be perfectly healthy here for an indefinite time, otherwise it's your responsibility pointing the finger at me. So what am I going to say, Dick? I said, like the landlord, repeater,
time out.
Hey, Dick. Okay, yeah. A little bit of the end of what Mel said got chopped off by the timer, and he did say that at the end it's going to be difficult, and he gave examples. The example that Mel was giving was that antennas are on apartment buildings, people are demanding the ability to move, to break a lease, to have lower rent. As it is right now, it is extremely difficult to get a brand new cell site established on an apartment building, in a temple, on a church, at a school, on top of a water tower that's near residences. I mean, the number of places where we're restricting where we can put a cell site is really wrong and crazy, because for cell sites to work well, I'd like to have one essentially every 4 miles in every direction on this grid, whether you make it a hexagonal grid or a square grid, there's pluses and minuses, but there's a whole lot of sufficiently tall buildings which are appropriate, and you want to have good coverage on the cell phone. You want to have good coverage on all those other first responder services. You can't have it without the right antennas and the right locations. And if that location happens to be what you think is a critical area, a school, a temple, a church, a hospital, or whatever, you think these places are more critical, they're not. That is perception. They're not understanding the inverse square law. And that's a huge misunderstanding, and therefore a lot of good locations that would give proper coverage are not being used because of the perception. Some of the best cell sites in the New York area happen to be on some of the apartment buildings. And they're allowed to be there because you don't have some person running a campaign to remove them, an erroneous campaign based on an erroneous opinion. system. There are a few cases where there are very good cell sites on apartment buildings. There are a very few cases in some of those other areas, like hospitals and temples and churches and whatever. And they are extremely successful. I don't know what's going to really fix all this. Bernie, I think you're the next person that want to make a comment. Go right ahead. We got a number of people on the list. We're going to get to all of you. Don't worry. K2YO, K2RIW. Bernie, help us out here.
You can also add WB2EAB to the list.
You're on the list, Eddie. Ed. Go ahead, Bernie.
Good evening, Dick and Vanessa. Dick Mellon and Vanessa. Just wanted to point out a couple things. First off, Dick, in my opinion, you are in the right. Please put me down, put my name in your book. Just write it in ink, because I may say something in a few moments that might make you really great. Put it in now, because hopefully it's going to run. This whole issue is in the political fight. It's not a technical fight. And one of the dangers that we have is the technical way of the population is that we, in many cases, are only going to upset people by pointing out facts to them. At a political fight, the person who points out the most facts, you can get yelled at them. And we need to be very careful about how we do everything. We, meaning you and I, don't have a problem in fights. We live in this building. I live in Garden City. Neither one of us have voting rights in Bayville. We want to have voting rights in the town board today. So, you are purely outsiders here, but we'll be branded as outsiders if you work too much. So, staying confident there. Also, keep in mind that radio is not a protected class under federal or state law. A radio has no rights. A community has the right to not have radio. In the same way that white police, you probably don't like black dogs. And we can outlaw all possession of black dogs. That is possible. Just a couple of thoughts on that. We'll drop it for a minute.
Bernie, from the first time you signed in till now, you must have moved locations. Your signal is quite noisy. I'm wearing earphones and I'm hearing you, but some of the other people are going to have some trouble. So when you move to the right site where you get a little stronger signal, you should probably repeat some of what you're saying. It's good information. Go ahead, Bernie.
Is this signal better now? I've got a picture of my antenna, so I'm going to have that move
different. Okay, something has changed. When you first signed in, you were easy to copy. Now you're 80% noise, 20% signal, Bernie. Go ahead.
Okay, let me give it one last shot. This is acceptable. I'll bow out after you guys get a better signal.
Okay, I only got about 50% copy on that one, Bernie. Something has changed, either at the repeater site or maybe you move your antenna. If you were running a handy-talky, you got to be careful about when some people fall into the trap of moving the handy-talky around until they get the best reception, and they assume that's going to be the best place for transmission. And because even though there's only 600 kc of difference, because the frequency of transmission and reception is different, the location for the best reception, so to speak, changes. So that may have been what happened. I'm going to give you some time to make whatever adjustments you can, and maybe the repeater itself will change, Bernie. I'm going to come back to you, in other words. So you got good material. I want to hear it. Jeff was the next person who signed in. I think it's Jeff. AC2AU. Go right ahead, Jeff. Help us out here. K2RIW. My name is Dick.
No, AC2AE. Joe. I guess I'm saying it too fast. But, I was just getting back to what you were saying before when you were saying if you get rid of the radio, people will die. And I told my wife, I said, God forbid anything ever happens to my radio. I said, I'll definitely die.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. For a period of time, I was fighting my town over my antenna, and I thought for a period of time they're going to win. And I was going to come to the conclusion that I had to move. I couldn't live in a community that would not allow the antenna that I wanted to put up, which on an acre of property with 85-foot high trees, what I put up is extremely well hidden by my standards, and my neighbors had all signed a petition to leave this guy alone. And had I not won that case, had I lost that case, I would have had to do drastic things. It's a way of life. Yes, I am biased. However, within that bias, there still can be some objectivity. it is very hard to deny the amount of safety that takes place, the number of lives that are being saved by the proper use of radio equipment in the 20th and 21st century. We can't, that genie is out of the bottle, if you know what I mean. We can't put that bird back in the cage, can't put that genie back in the bottle. We have to have that radio equipment. In 1900, it probably took you half an hour to inform, standby. The fire department that at the other end of town, a major building is burning, and you've got to move the equipment there, and you've got to try to save what's left of that building after you finally get there. We could tolerate that in 1900 because we had nothing better at that time. In the 21st century, if those emergency vehicles are not rolling within 60 seconds towards that emergency situation where life and death is at risk, if within 60 seconds or so that equipment is not rolling, we insist that heads will roll. You're going to fire the guy that didn't let it happen. You're going to find out what the hell he did wrong. I mean, that's our new standard. But without radio, you can't stand up. You don't stand a chance of a company. You can't take away the radio, which is the foundation of the beginning of the communication process that allows the first responders to do their work. So, as biased as we may be, nobody can deny that, in my opinion. And so, when we are attacked, we will admit that we're biased, but then we'll come back saying that, beyond that bias, look what other fact, that if you don't like it, you can go confirm it yourself. And be wary of people using the internet. 95% or so of the information on the internet is beautiful stuff. Maybe in certain circumstances, certain subjects, 5% of it is absolute garbage. Maybe it's only 2%, but there's garbage there. If the person wants to be really selective for a particular campaign, he can quote that professor in France. There is one professor in France telling you that radio is dangerous, and everybody who wants to fight that particular battle quotes him. He has been discredited by a number of well-informed organizations, but still, if you want to dig that up, you can. The fact that a person can find, let me drop, one or two pieces of information that are really counter to the cause doesn't mean it's right. If you get them to do a proper research, they'll find out that 98% of the information has the entirely different opinion. So, you got to make sure that people are not being subjective, even though we are. We are subjective, but with good justification. I got to be careful with that one. Joe, where he hit you. Ed, WB2EAV.
Here's a gun. At 8 o'clock, next tonight, at 8.
I should be in there somewhere too, Dick, WS2N.
We're going to get you right after Ed. Ed is a guy who has a little more understanding of human nature. I can tell by some of the humor he has given me over the years. Ed, what should we do in this case? WB2EAV, K2RI to be in the tech man.
Okay. Good evening, all. I'm going to start with a bit of philosophy, and then I'm going to give you a real answer. Of course, it's going to work because denial is a powerful tool. But let's start at the beginning. You mentioned delays. In the case of the RMS Titanic,